You're listening to Power 1220, WENC, Whiteville, North Carolina.
Happy Sunday and welcome to The Conversation. I'm your host, Ed Clark. It is Sunday, July 20th, 2025, and it's our first episode of The Conversation on WENC, Radio 1220. In Whiteville, North Carolina. And I have someone with me who has been with me for a while. Her name is Sherelle James. Hey, Sherelle.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm great. We got a new home, 1220 WENC, Power 1220. I am the new owner and general manager of WENC, a station that has 80 years of history in Whiteville, North Carolina. And I take that very seriously, Sherelle. We're going to be here every week talking with people in southeastern North Carolina, but also we have people from around the world on the program that we want to introduce you to. And I guess first, maybe we should introduce ourselves. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
Well, I'll start, Sherelle. Again, my name is Ed Clark. I'm the owner and general manager of WENC. Have over 30 plus years in the radio business in the Raleigh-Durham market. Also have been at North Carolina Central University. I am also a business owner, own several businesses. I won't go into all of that right now. Hopefully I'll get to meet people in the community, Sherelle, and we can talk more about, you know, what we do on a day-to-day basis and in our other business. But I'll just say broadly that I do a lot of technology stuff in IT, and that company is called Future Forward Innovations. And hopefully we'll be able to have an impact in Columbus County and Bladen County and Brunswick County and all those places in between. You know, just have had a long career in media. And we'll talk about some of the other things we do. Tell us about yourself, Sherelle. Tell the audience about yourself.
Well, I'm super excited to be here as well with Ed Clark. My name is Sherelle James. I am a business owner by trade, is what my daytime is, a financial firm called My Local CFO, amongst other things, whatever Ed allows me to get into with him. We kind of partners in business, I can't say business crime because it sounds like we're doing something illegal and it's not illegal.
Yeah, don't say that.
I won't say that. But we try to get in all types of, as I'll say it like this, good trouble. We definitely try to get in good trouble. Wife and mother to many in the community, as well as just waiting for us to really be able to sink our hands and feet and eyes into the community even more, to get to know each and every one of you, and just to for you guys to get to know us as well. It's a little bit about me.
Yeah, well, you know, Sherelle, we talked about what we were going to name the show, and the conversation seems to make the most sense, because what we want to do is engage people from the community, have them talk about what's vexing them, but also what's good about Columbus County and Bladen County and Brunswick County and Robeson County. What we know is that the signal for 1220 goes a long way. All the way down to Myrtle Beach and all the way up to almost to Wilmington and all points in between. And there's so many communities that I need to get to know, and I'd like for those people to get to know us at the station. Let me do some housekeeping first and just talk about the station real quick. Right now, the station's in flux. Most people know it was off the air for about 7 months. And it's going to take some time to get it fully up. So what we're doing now is we're testing out all kind of things, the equipment. Also, we're testing out the format. We will remain primarily a gospel station in the morning and during the day, during the week. And obviously on Sunday, we'd like for all the area churches to make sure they get their announcements into us. We want to make sure that we know what's going on in the community, but also the community at large. I've already met with some people on the city council in Whiteville. And I have some other meetings coming up where I want to talk about how we get information out to the people and make sure that we have good relationships in the community. So if you hear some music on the radio that doesn't sound like it fits right now, don't be surprised. One of the things we have to do as part of our testing is to see what the transmitter sounds like. So we have to play a range of music. We've been trying to stick with the gospel during the day, but at nighttime, because one of the things that we're doing, Sherelle, is we're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week now. Before the station would be off normally around 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We have a license from the FCC for 24 hours, and our plan is to broadcast 24 hours. The other thing that's going to be different is for the folks out there is if you're having trouble listening to the show, you can also stream it. We will be streaming it online, so you can tell your friends and neighbors in Baltimore or Philadelphia or people who left Whiteville and left Columbus County and maybe in California that they'll be able to get a little bit of home wherever they are. And also, if you have a phone app, there's an Android app and an iPhone app which will be available coming soon. The last part of the housekeeping related to the station, Sherelle, is that because of the testing that we need to do, and also because of some logistical issues we need to work out, the station isn't officially back on. I just want to say that the folks that will have an official launch on August the 15th, and hopefully we'll be able to have an open house or something to have people come by for the relaunch of WENC 1220. And we're calling it the new Power 1220, WENC. And I'm just really excited about the opportunity. I do want to say one thing that, may sound a little crass, but it is a commercial station. So for all those people out there who have a business that need to do advertising or who have advertised in the past with Power 1220, we want to talk to you. We want to make a good deal for you. And we believe that we can help you grow your business. And one of the things that Sherelle does in her day job is help people grow their businesses. She's helped mine tremendously over the years. So I do want to make sure that we know about her business, my local CFO, my business, Future Forward Innovations. And the company that owns Power 1220 now is called Fire Media. We're based in Raleigh on Fayetteville Street. And, we have a studio there, and we do a lot of other things. So that's the housekeeping stuff. That's the background about Sherelle and I. And then you'll be hearing more about us in the coming weeks. And then we want to make sure we get some of you folks into the studio with us and talk about the things that are happening in southeastern North Carolina, in northeast South Carolina. Because I've been driving around, Sherelle, and one of the things I found out is during the day you can hear the signal a long way, and I think it's important that we cover all the people in southeastern North Carolina. So with that, Sherelle, where I wanted to start today, and this is one thing that people will get used to on the conversation is we picked several stories that we want to talk about, and then we'll dig in depth in some of them. And then, of course, if we have somebody on, we interview them. Today, we don't have anybody on, but I want to start with the economy, Sherelle. One of the stories I saw on Thursday was that unemployment had ticked up in North Carolina. There were 3,600 new unemployment claims in North Carolina. And the tone of the article seemed to indicate that there was some indication that there may be some pressure for additional layoffs. Now, we live in the Triangle area, and one of the things that we've seen is a lot of layoffs in the tech sector, places like Cisco and some of those big companies. But the indications in these numbers that some of them were down in some other, areas other than tech. Because you do finance and all of that, one of the things that people had hoped would happen, and one of the reasons why people said they voted for Donald Trump is that they expected the economy to improve. One thing that hasn't happened is the economy has not improved. Let's just be honest about it. And for a number of reasons, one is the tariffs haven't done the job that they were supposed to do. And then now there's threats to the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, who Trump appointed in his first term. Talk to me real quick about where we are with the economy and people's feelings about the economy from what you know, because you work with a lot of small business owners. Are people feeling confident, worried? What is the sort of sense out there?
Well, and a big thing is that on a day-to-day basis, we are still dealing with a lot of uncertainty. And so as a business owner who works with business owners, who sits down and talks to economists about where we are and where we're going, that type of thing, there's just still a lot of uncertainty in the world right now, in our economy right now. And then on top of that, we didn't touch on this when we were prepping for today, but I think that what's going to bring a lot more uncertainty and has brought a lot more uncertainty is the big, beautiful bill that just got passed, right? Because now people are trying to figure out, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean? Whether as you're an individual, whether you're on some of public assistance, whether you have student loans, whether you are a business, and what does that mean? And certainly it has pros and cons. It's not all bad, but it brought a lot more uncertainty to the table. Inside of that, what we're seeing is, especially with a lot of the larger companies, we're seeing a lot of layoffs right now. And what we can tell, if we take our signal from them, they're slimming down. And what economists have said, although they've not used the big R word loudly, but almost recession-like, and I don't want to create any pandemonium or anything like that, but we are probably getting to tighter times with some of the uncertainty. Even our president, President Trump, originally he said he's coming in, he's going to make everything better. Well, he backpedaled a little bit on that, right? And said, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better, so just hold on. He said that himself. And so inside of that, if we listen to what he's saying, if we see what economists are saying, or if we're looking at corporations and how they're slimming down, it all signals to things getting a little bit tighter and us having to maybe get back kind of to some of the main things and watch where our dollars are going right now. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to end up in a recession. I'm not saying that things are going to be as worse as they were in COVID or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that things are probably going to get tighter. When we talk about the tariffs that our administration has put on other countries and continues to raise those tariffs, that means that all the goods and things that we get from other countries, guess what? We hadn't really felt it because we had a lot of those goods already over here. But as we're renewing those goods and those tariffs come into place, that means that is more money that's going to have to be put out for those goods. And guess who that comes to? It comes to the consumer. And so I think that for all of us, what we can do right now is as we look at unemployment, a lot of unemployment happening, starting to rise, and it's not rising fairly fast yet, but it's starting to rise. As we look at all those things, I think we should take those as just signals of, okay, maybe I need to watch what I'm spending, watch what I'm doing, slow down for a little bit, put a little bit more in savings. And those who got caught out there in COVID, right? I think the stat was that most business owners had only 30 days worth of reserves. And that also kind of went for households as well. F that. Now is the time to learn from then and just kind of be a little bit more conservative with your spending right now, until we can get to some certain ground.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, you're listening to WENC Power 1220 AM in Whiteville. This is the conversation with Ed Clark and Sherelle James. So this is probably the first time you've heard our voices. I'd like for you to tell your friends and neighbors this is a place to come for deep conversations about what's going on in North Carolina, in Columbus County, but also in America and in the world. And right now we're talking about the economy and some of the pressures on the economy. And right now, Sherelle, you mentioned the tariff word. One of the things that I saw on the BBC today was Trump had promised these 90 deals in 90 days, right? And now there doesn't seem to be any deals. And now he's also in a sort of a contest of machismo with Vladimir Putin, who he at first he thought he could work with, but now it seems that he has retreated from that, and they're sort of, at loggerheads. What do you suspect going to happen with this Putin thing right now? Now Trump, it seems like he's had to go back to Ukraine and deal with Zelensky instead. What's going to happen there?
It's been fascinating to me to watch the bromances and then watch as they kind of fall apart and come back together and fall apart, literally like a reality TV show almost. And it's not funny because this is real life, right? This is dealing with the whole countries, but on some levels, it is humorous because what else can you do? Sometimes you laugh through pain, you laugh when you're happy, you laugh when you're sad. And so inside of that, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Because kind of like Trump, Putin kind of goes to beats to his own drum. And so wherever what however it's beating right now is not beating towards Trump and other things that Trump wants. But I think he's being very demanding. Where before I think he wasn't as he was still demanded, but not in a demanding way, right? And if you're a leader, you don't want somebody telling you what to do. At least woo me a little bit. At least make me feel like it's a little bit of my idea. And I think that he's gotten to a point now that he's just telling countries what to do, just flat out. This is what I need you to do. This is what you should do. And then getting an attitude with them when they don't do what he says. Sometimes in some cases tantrums, but that's a whole nother thing. We won't go there. And I think we're seeing what's playing out now is a power struggle. And so he is kind of having to put his hat in his hand and go back to Zelensky and try to see what he can do on that side. Because at the end of the day, he's got to do something.
Yeah. Well, Sherelle, I hear some music in my ear, so folks, you'll get used to this. That means we need to take a break. So whenever you hear that music, we'll take a break, and when we come back, you had mentioned the big, beautiful bill, Sherelle, and we're gonna start talking about that. But specifically, I want to talk about Tom Tillis, the senator from North Carolina. So, and I'll tell you how the program works a little bit more when we get back. So you're listening to The Conversation. So stay right there. We'll be right back after this message.
You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
New at 6, Republican Senator Tom Tillis announced his opposition to President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill, saying it would result in funding loss for North Carolina. According to Tillis, he can't support the bill in its current form as it would result in tens of billions of dollars in lost funding for North Carolina, including in hospitals and rural communities. He says this will force the state to make painful decisions like eliminating Medicaid coverage for hundreds of thousands in expansion population and even reducing critical services. Tillis says that while there is a lot for North Carolinians to love about the rest of the One Big Beautiful Bill, including extending the historic Trump tax cuts and providing historic funding for border security, it must be accomplished without hurting rural communities and hospitals and without jeopardizing access to care. In a statement, Tillis said, quote, I will always do what is in the best interest of North Carolina, even when that puts me at odds with my own party.
And welcome back to our second segment of The Conversation. I'm Ed Clark. Sherelle James is here. This is our first program on Power 1220, the new Power 1220, WENC in Whiteville. And we hope that you telling your neighbors and friends to tune in and make sure that you do. Make sure you tell people that they can go to the web. That's WENC Radio, WENCRadio.com. And you can click on the link to listen live from anywhere in the world. So if you're out of town next Sunday and want to hear the conversation, you can be anywhere. You can be in Timbuktu and listen to the conversation. So we expect you to tell your friends and neighbors all over the country. Then also, we started out, Sherelle, talking about the station and the history, the 80 years of WENC. And we want to make sure that the station stays viable as a place to get information in the community, but also for music, gospel music, R&B. We've added a reggae program that's going to be on. We're adding smooth jazz on Sunday afternoon. So after we're on today, later on in the afternoon, you'll get some smooth jazz. You'll get some straight ahead bebop and other jazz in the evenings. Just a mix of things. So if you hear something that you like, let us know. If you hear something you don't like, let us know. We're trying to build a station. The official launch of the station is going to be August 15th. And so keep your fingers crossed we can meet all those deadlines. We got a lot of technical things we got to work out, Sherelle, but we feel pretty confident that August 15th will be the official launch of the station. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't listen every morning. So if you get up early, 5 a.m., you can start hearing gospel at 5 a.m., Sherelle. So the first block is old-time gospel. To get you going, and then we do a little bit of contemporary gospel for the drive into work, and then we got some talk in the morning as well, a midday talk show we're going to have, and then in the afternoon drive we'll have contemporary gospel again and some more talk, and then we'll go into R&B and all those things at 6 o'clock. And now the station is going to be on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Sherelle, which is another thing that's different. And everybody should be happy about that. Anyway, so when we left on the conversation, I asked you about the big, beautiful bill, Sherelle. One of the things that was most concerning for particularly Tom Tillis, the senator from North Carolina, was that he was afraid that it was going to kick people off Medicaid. One of the things that they did in the Affordable Care Act was allowed for what they call Medicaid expansion. North Carolina was late to the game, but when they did, it gave health insurance to a lot of people. And one of the things that Tom Tillis kept saying and still says to this day is that it's going to throw a lot of regular, ordinary working people off of health coverage. So let's start there. It's important to have health insurance coverage, Sherelle. What is going to be the implication of people getting or making it harder for people to have health care? Have you looked into this any at all?
I did, and I talked about this a little bit from a business perspective, in the sense of, because it's going to definitely target SNAP and Medicaid benefits. And inside of that, you would say, well, what's the issue with that? Are people on Medicaid or on SNAP? But there's people that work a regular 9-to-5 that may still be on Medicaid and SNAP, right? That have some type of job. And if you think about it, if you're not getting the proper health care, then that means that if you're sick and you can't get the proper health care, you're going to be out of work more often. If I'm out of work more often, most of these jobs are going to be hourly jobs, typically, right? If you're Medicaid and SNAP. And so that means that if I'm not working, I'm not getting paid. And so I think that Tillis saw that, wait a minute, this is going to cut a little too deep into just our general population of people. When we talk about those who are getting services, those who need our help, not because they're just sitting home and collecting a check, but because these are extra things that they need to continue to help them be productive members of society. And so inside of that, Tillis did draw very sharp criticism from Trump and MAGA aligned Republicans, because he just felt like that those cuts were just too sharp and too deep of a cuts for the average American citizen.
Yeah, so, you know, and it was interesting you know, that Tillis felt like he had to go to the mat. I don't know if he had decided to not run when he first raised his objections. I'm not sure. My suspicion is that he had already decided that he wasn't going to run. And the reason why, Sherelle, a couple of months ago, I was in Wilmington for an economic forum that was sponsored by Project NC Lead. And Tillis was invited to come, but he couldn't come because there was a vote on the floor in the Senate. And they were in the throes of trying to negotiate, you know, what this big, beautiful bill was going to look like. But Tillis's legislative aide was there. And it was very surprising to me how little positive he had to say about the tariffs. And he communicated that it's how Senator Tillis felt. He was also so concerned about how Donald Trump had not been able to coalesce people into feeling like there was a unified front, that DOGE was a mistake, that the way immigration enforcement had gone on was a mistake. And Tillis was very vocal in that, and his legislative aide was vocal in communicating that Tillis was not on board with everything. And there have been very few Republican senators who have been willing, or and in the House as well, who have been willing to go over to the other side. They were very close to not getting this done, though. But Senator Murkowski from Alaska at the last minute got some concessions that Alaska is exempt from some of the things that you just talked about, right? So it's ironic to me that, you know, she would go and cut a deal only for Alaska and put all the other 48 states in jeopardy for losing Medicaid and other benefits. I will tell you this, Sherelle, and the audience should know this about me and maybe figured it out by now. I'm a progressive person, right? I lean left. I believe in helping other people. And it's probably a good time to tell you a little bit something else about myself. I have worked in the federal government space before at FEMA, but I was appointed by George Bush, by a Republican. So before people start screaming, you know, that I'm a progressive, I've always also been sort of in the middle. And the reason why I went to work at FEMA, it was after Katrina. And I felt like it was important for people that were not in the same party as President Bush to help other people, that people can get along. One of the things that the conversation is about, this program is about, is engaging with people and getting them to think in bigger terms, right? That we're in a sort of collective need, that if the people who are at the bottom societally, because economically they're not making it, that puts a burden on people in the middle class. And you know, we can't always look to give people that are rich more. And Tom Tillis, to my, I won't say surprise, but I guess I was happy he stated it out loud that this was going to hurt poor middle class people. And I'll put a pin in what I have to say about that. Anything else you want to say about Tom Tillis and how he reacted?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, and it's from our other show, but last year, towards the end of last year, I went to Congress to talk about the Basel III that the Federal Reserve Basel III endgame that the Federal Reserve was proposing at the time. And one of the congressmen that I went to go see was Tom Tillis. And even then, you could start seeing cracks in the party in some of the things that he had to say as he was talking to us. It was not 100% on the party line and 100% with his party. There was some things that he was saying about some of his party members. And we talked a little bit about then of some fractures that we were starting to kind of see with things that were happening in the Republican Party. And I think it's just drawing that line of conservative Republicans and MAGA Republicans, right? Kind of that we're seeing a lot of them at this point retire or not sign back up to run again, which is going to be very interesting. It leaves a lot of open doors, especially in North Carolina with him not running. again, it gives some hopes for the Democrats, but it also leaves the door open again, right, for those who are leaning even further into the MAGA world to run and possibly take that seat, or Democrat to take that seat.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and place a bet that Roy Cooper will be the Democratic nominee if he wants it.
I can't bet against you on that one. Well, I would say the same thing.
And then, but somebody from southeastern North Carolina may be the Republican nominee, and that's Lara Trump, Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, who's from Wilmington. I was reading an article about her recently, but she hasn't lived in North Carolina for a while. I'm not sure. I won't speak on this yet, but I'm not sure she's completely eligible to be the senator from North Carolina, but I'm sure she'll work that out if she decides she wants to run. But her father-in-law has a little bit of trouble right now on another matter, but we won't talk about that yet. But you mentioned the Federal Reserve, because when you went to D.C. last year to talk to Tom Tillis, one of the things you were talking about was some Federal Reserve policy, that kind of thing. Jerome Powell, who's the current Federal Reserve chairman, has said that he does not want to reduce interest rates, at least not yet. Donald Trump said he should, and then he's threatened that he was going to fire Powell. But one of the ironies, Sherelle, is that Donald Trump said, well, whoever appointed Powell is, stupid. Well, guess who appointed Chairman Powell? It was Donald Trump. So I'll just leave it at that. Anything else you want to say about the Federal Reserve before we move on to the next subject?
So you know me, Ed, and our audience to get to know me a little bit more, that I like to give a little education and background here and there so that we make sure you understand. And if you know it, you know it. If you don't, you've learned something new, that the Federal Reserve is the central bank for the United States. So that's one thing that we need to understand. It is our central banking system, and they manage the inflation and the interest rates. So when we talk about what's your mortgage, what's your the interest rates for the banks, things of that nature, they're managing that. They're managing that lever for inflation. When we saw things go up or things come down, they supervise and regulate the banks to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. That's where you see that FDIC insured. That's part of the Federal Reserve program, right? They ensure financial system stability across the board and provide key banking services. So that is our banking system. So when we talk about Jerome Powell, we're not just talking about some guy who's sitting somewhere. We're talking about someone who's over our central banking system, who is a Republican and former investment banker. Now, fun fact, he was appointed to the Fed board in 2012 by President Barack Obama, but he was nominated Fed chair in November 2017 by President Donald Trump. And then he took office in February 2018, renominated by President Joe Biden in 2021, and currently serves now at the pleasure of the president. Now, just a little bit of background on and kind of what's been going on, what's happening. And he was Trump favored and loved Powell because he liked deregulation, right? Taking a lot of the rules off. And we know that Trump, his administration, likes a lot of the rules to be taken off so that they can do more. But now they're clashing over the interest rate hikes. He doesn't like inflation in the way that it is and the interest rates hikes, because you don't make as much money as you did before. And so inside of that, he's even suggested firing him. We don't know legally if that can happen or not, but you know, that's just something that he kind of has suggested. And definitely we'll wait and see what else is happening. But just know that federal decisions impact every American. I don't care if you say, I don't know nothing about this and I don't vote. It still impacts you. Mortgage and credit card rates, small business loans, stock market trends. And then definitely, like I said before, inflation. That's controlled during crises and things of that nature. So this is what we're talking about, affects each and every person of who's in charge, number one, and then the decisions that are being made, number two.
Yeah, so whether you're in Whiteville or Sierra Gorda, Jerome Powell has an impact on your life, and you should take that serious, or Fairmont or wherever you are, Lumberton, take this serious. If you're listening to us, and you're going, who are these crazy people? I'm Ed Clark. That's Sherelle James. We are part of The new folks over at WENC Power 1220, the new Power 1220 AM in Whiteville. This is going to be a normal occurrence on Sunday. It's called a conversation. We'll be here for an hour. Sometimes if there's other news going on, like during the election time, sometimes we're off for a little bit longer, and or we'll have specials on as well if there's breaking news that we need to cover. I'm Ed Clark, again, the general manager and owner of WENC 1220 AM, and Sherelle James is here. She's the trusty sidekick that keeps me from doing stupid stuff. So so luckily she's here, so I don't say anything crazy. You know, Sherelle, before we have to take a break, you know, I really hope that people understand what the conversation is about. Every episode, we also talk about a fact that's undisputable that nobody can get around. Like you explained the Federal Reserve and what it does and what its responsibilities are, right? So there's no ambiguity about it. We live in a time where there's a lot of misinformation, false information, whatever, coming from all kinds of sides. And I do not want people to say that the conversation is just two people blowing off at the mouth about what they feel. You will get a fact every time you tune into the conversation. We also want to invite people who want to be part of the conversation. So if you're in government in southeastern North Carolina or northern South Carolina, and you think you have something to say, you want to communicate to the people, and it doesn't matter what party you're in, you can be part of the conversation. So reach out to me at ed@wencradio.com. That's ed@wencradio.com. And then we'll be glad to try to get you on the program. Anyway, I hear some music in my ear again, Sherelle. That means we need to take another break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with some more local stuff. And if you don't haven't figured it out yet, the gist is that we start with the world, then we move to North Carolina, and then we move local. So when we come back, we'll have some local topics we want to talk about. So stay right there. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, I'm Ed Clark, General Manager and part of the ownership group of the new Power 1220, WENC. We're excited to be a part of the community and look forward to all the exciting changes to come. You'll still get the best gospel, but you'll also hear new things like smooth jazz, reggae, Afrobeat, and smart and engaging talk shows. So be patient as we make the changes necessary. The new Power 1220 is over the air, online, in our new Power 1220 app on Android and iPhone. The new Power 1220, music, talk, and so much more.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Turns out, bodies of water in North Carolina's coastal areas are part of the American alligator's natural range.
They do live in Pamlico County.
So why did this gator show up surfing the waves at the coast last week?
He has probably followed some food sources out there. They don't have salt-secreting glands like crocodiles do. They do have to go back to fresh water to drink.
North Carolina's alligators grow slower than their cousins living further south, like in Florida, because Our weather is cooler and the feeding season is shorter. And by the way, snow and ice won't kill them.
So once the temperatures drop below 60, they can't metabolize food, and so they don't eat throughout the whole wintertime.
Davis says gators will hunker down in a den in a sort of sleep called brumation and wait for the warmer weather to return.
Alligators have a natural fear of humans, but if you feed them, they lose that fear. So let them find their own food. That way, gators and humans can peacefully coexist.
And welcome back to our third and final segment of the conversation. I'm your host, Ed Clark. Sherelle James is here. It is July 20th, 2025. The year is just zooming by, Sherelle. It's zooming by, and it's also hot. Extremely hot. It has been extremely hot everywhere I've been. Earlier this year, Sherelle, we were in Africa. We were in Tanzania, and it was extremely hot and humid there. And I'll tell folks about our Tanzania adventures at some point, but I will tell you that I think I took a shower about 10 times a day. I'd never been that soaked before in my life, but it led to some really good things while we were there. So we'll let you people, all the people in on our adventures in Africa a little bit later on in the weeks to come, because we got some exciting news about some business that we were able to start in Africa. Well, Sherelle, when we left, I was explaining that how the show works, right? We start off with international and national news. Then we go to state news. And in the state news, I felt it was really important to talk about Tom Tillis because he fell on his sword. He has decided not to run, and he's out of there. And because he felt that much compelled to not support the big, beautiful bill. My suspicion, Sherelle, is that a lot of people may have some regrets about the big, beautiful bill in the end. It barely passed in the House and the Senate. It took a vote from Vice President J.D. Vance to get it through. And now the president has some troubles. And I don't want to necessarily talk about that this week because it's not resolved yet over the Epstein issue. So there's been enough talk about it this week. I do want to go to something local. Municipal elections are coming up in North Carolina, Sherelle, because the way it works is in off years, in 2025, a lot of places will have elections for council and mayors and those kind of things. In Wilmington, I think there's going to be a lot going on there. Some people can hear us up in New Hanover County. I think there's going to be some big elections there. I don't know the lay of the land here in Columbus County yet, Sherelle, but this is what I'll say. What happens at the county commission, the mayor, the town council, the school board, all those municipal elections actually have as much, if not more, impact on your life than being worried about who the president is. Not that the president isn't important because they appoint people to the Supreme Court and such. I worry all the time, Sherelle, about people not participating in municipal elections. Sometimes you'll look at the results of municipal elections and it'll be 10% turnout. Why can't we get people to like vote every time? I vote every time, regardless. I mean, it could be, you know, water.
Yeah.
Or the water person that's on the ballot or whatever. And they may be running by against themselves, right? But they're on the ballot. And I know they're running because I've seen the ballot because I went in. And one of the things that's happened, Sherelle, is that there's been this sort of not wanting people to vote. Talk to me about your feelings on voting in local and municipal elections.
So I feel, and this is Sherelle's feelings, Sherelle's thoughts. This is not anything that's stated out there, but now I have to go and do research on it, I guess, and see where my thoughts fit. But I think that so much the presidential elections are so sensationalized by media. It's our fault. We're media. They're so sensationalized, and they're always in your face, in your face, in your face, in your face. Where when you have more local elections, the more local it is, the less in your face it is. So if we think about out of sight, out of mind, and as people, we are busy people just in the world in general. We're busy people. And so when something is consistently put in front of you, you are more apt to pay attention to it versus something that may be put in front of you one or two times, or if you just happen to be driving. But by the time you drive by that sign and you say, oh, yeah, I need to go vote, and then you go five places and get home, you've totally forgotten about that sign because you've seen 20 other things. And so I just think that it is not, in general, we don't treat local elections with the same excitement that we treat federal elections, especially during presidential times.
Yeah. So what I'm implying, Sherelle, is that if you're running for anything in South or Eastern North Carolina and you can hear us, I would like to hear from you. And I would like for you to explain to me why people in this area aren't participating in the numbers that I think they should be. You know, one interesting fact, here's another fact that we're going to give you today. In Australia, if you don't vote, you get fined. There are several countries that require you to vote. And if you don't, you have to pay a fine for not voting and have a really good excuse for not voting. The other thing that other countries do, Sherelle, that probably would help in America, and I don't know why we have such a push against this, but why is it voting on the weekend? Why is it the first Tuesday in November? I will tell you why. So here's another fact. Again, it's undisputable that it's not how I feel or anything like that. The reason why is because people had to get on a horse and travel, and it made sense because the harvest was over. And then by the time you got to where you were going, you can get there on a Tuesday if you left on a Friday. Because you had to go to the county seat to vote. That was throughout America, right? Well, there's a lot of things that we did in 1776 that don't make a lot of sense now. And I don't understand why we are always so, it has to be like it was when the founding fathers decided it was going to be that way. One of the things I heard a lot this week was a lot of complaining about people who had gone up to Congress to testify on a matter that was related to Joe Biden had taken the Fifth Amendment. And a lot of people were saying, well, if you take the Fifth Amendment, that means that you must be guilty. No. The language of the Fifth Amendment says that no person has to testify against themselves, point blank, period. And invoking the Fifth has been, since the Constitution was ratified in 1789, that's how it's supposed to be, right? You don't have to go and incriminate yourself or not incriminate yourself, because by taking the Fifth, it doesn't apply that. It's part of this larger thing that we do here on our program, Sherelle, is Civic Sunday, right? So every once in a while, folks, I want you to get used to, we'll announce that there's going to be a Civic Sunday, and we'll take a topic related to the either federal or state constitution, and then we'll dig deep into it because we want you to understand that a lot of things that you hear and maybe even repeat yourself is not true. And not because you're a bad person, not because you're evil, but you've heard it over and over again. You think that it's right, and it's not. And so one of the things that we'd like to also get people to do is to think about voting every single time, no matter what. And now, here's the problem with that, Sherelle, is that the guy that I don't want may win. However, if we really believe in democracy, right, that's the time you have to go out and convince people that your position is the better position, right? That's what campaigning is about. That's what going out and shaking hands and kissing babies and all that stuff is about, is that you have to let people know what your position is. I think the default has been, at least in this last sort of 20 years, is that all I got to do is announce that I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, And that's supposed to mean something. And Tom Tillis sort of turned that on its head and said, hey, I'm a Republican, but I can't go along with this, right? I will be interested, Sherelle, since we're now in southeastern North Carolina, what people say and do in terms of their politics that I don't know about yet. So I don't, at this point, if you told me you were a Republican or Democrat, it won't mean anything to me. What I'll need to know is, you know, are you going to vote for zoning something in a particular way that's going to be beneficial to what I like or so on?
Well, number one, are you going to vote? Are you voting? Let's just start there. Before we get into what you're voting for, are you going to vote?
Are you going to vote at all? That is the point to make, right? And I guess that's why I went on that tangent, is that I believe that you should vote every time regardless. You should spend time. If you're listening to us, I'm Ed Clark. That's Sherelle James. This is The Conversation on WENC 1220, Power 1220 AM, the new Power 1220 in Whiteville, North Carolina. We come here on Sundays to chop it up, talk about whatever's going on in the news. Sometimes we have a guest, and we'd like to have guests. And so I'm going to make a pitch now. If you have something you think people in the community need to know about, we need to hear from you. So send me an email at Ed, my other show, Ed at WENC Radio.com. And we would love to hear from you. We'd love to also hear about what you think about the station, what needs to happen there. We know that the station has a history. We want to be sensitive to that history. We want to make sure we honor that history. We want to make sure that we do everything we can to get people involved and participating in the station. And that also means whether you're advertising or whether you just have a message that you want to get out to the people, we'll definitely have some things where if you're a civic organization or a church, that there'll be ways for you to communicate what's going on in your area throughout southeastern North Carolina. Sherelle, before we run out of time, I do want to talk about one local thing that struck me. I saw it in the paper. There are alligators around here.
Oh, my.
Lake Waccamaw, which is not too far from here, and down in Southport, down in Brunswick County, which they can also hear us down in Brunswick County, there's been alligator sightings. Now, I mean, I've seen swamp people, and I don't think I want to tussle with an alligator, but apparently they're around. Have you seen these alligator stories?
I've not seen these alligator stories, but let me just tell you, coming from Georgia, you know, I've got a side of my family that's from Savannah, and so when you talk about Hilton Head, Savannah, going towards Florida, that whole side, alligator sightings coming across the street in the middle of nights and all of that kind of stuff. That's not far from here.
Yeah.
So, true. I mean, it's just right up, you know, run up the road technically by water. So yeah. Who knows what's been happening with all these storms. Maybe they're just displaced.
Well, yeah. So when I was reading the article before we came on, one of the things they talked about was that the storms probably have an impact. Also the heat, Sherelle, it's been oppressively hot. We were hitting 100 degrees way before we normally do. I remember being a kid. Just another thing I have to tell you about me. I'm from Harnett County, a little town called Bun Level. I mention Bun Level every show, so you have to get used to that.
Yes, he does.
Because I want to make sure people know, Sherelle, that I'm just a country boy.
And
I grew up cropping tobacco and picking cucumbers and watermelons. And we picked cucumbers for the Mount Olive Pickle Company. And we cropped tobacco and came to the tobacco market in Rocky Mount and sold tobacco there. And that's how I grew up. And that's why when the station became available here in Columbus County, I was like, well, Columbus County ain't much different than where I'm from. And so it made it easy for us to make the decision to participate in the community here We're excited about the opportunities that it presents, Sherelle, that we really believe that WENC can be a important part of the community. We invite people to, again, share their opinions and so on and so forth, but also to stay out of the way of alligators. And I am Please. Very concerned now because I had planned to go down to Lake Waccamaw, in the coming weeks because I need to get to all the communities in the area and meet people. So now I'm concerned about alligators. But on a serious note, that's how the show works. We start at the world, we go to national, we go to state, and then we go to local. And then we ended up today talking about alligators and the heat and municipal elections. And I'm sure there's some other local stuff that we can talk about. I did see, Sherelle, that there was a large drug bust in Columbus County a week or so ago. And whenever I see those things, it always strikes me that because I've been all over the country, I've been to 48 of the 50 states. I said I worked a lot with FEMA. A lot of small communities like Columbus County, like Whiteville, have drug problems and have the same kind of problems with human trafficking and those kind of things. We want to bring people in to talk about what's going on. So I invite the sheriff of Columbus County and the police chief of Whiteville to come in and talk about what they're doing to try to help, with that. One of the other things we're working on, Sherelle, is I really would love to cover some of the sports around here. I'm a former athlete at the University of North Carolina, ran track there. I know you played softball as well at Elizabeth City State University. And people will get to know the fact that you spend a lot of time still at Elizabeth City State University.
Yeah.
We hope to bring you some HBCU sports on the station as well. We're working on getting a program that covers HBCU sports. We're also working on, just some other sports programming as well. So, today was about getting to know the people letting people know us, I guess would be a better way of saying that, because we got to see you first and hear from you first. Stay tuned. The station official opening will be August 15th. We'll post this on the website, wencradio.com. So you can always go back and listen to the conversation. There'll be changes in the website as things go along. Right now, it's mainly a placeholder, but right now you can go click on the link for listen live. That means you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from anywhere in the world. And we hope to get calls from people from everywhere. I got a call from somebody from Baltimore already when I was at the station. I got a call from somebody in New Jersey already while I was at the station who was listening to the gospel music during the day. Anyway, Sherelle, anything else we need to know before we get out of here?
No, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for welcoming us, rather, to the community. We look forward to getting out in it and meeting a lot of you guys. And I'll turn it to Ed for his famous sign-off.
Well, Sherelle, that people will get used to this as well. Go out and do something good for somebody today, and we really do mean that. And come back for us next week on another edition of The Conversation.
Like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long